This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a great episode this week. We'll be talking in a few minutes with Mac Baloney. And he has not been on the show since, 2013 or so?
Yeah, too long.
Yeah, far too long, and we are remedying that today, and we have a lot to talk about with him. In the meantime, I wanted to bring up a couple of things. I guess the first thing is we're still seeing here that the UFO field seems to be more credible as far as the media is concerned after we get to the Area 51 nonsense, which we'll talk to Mac about in a moment. But again, the thing that worries me here is the questions that came up about Luis Elizondo and what his role was with the Pentagon UFO project, where he claimed to have headed it, and then letters received by John Greenwald of the Black Vault indicated, well, he was there, but he wasn't the big cheese. And what worries me here, not so much that, because people do inflate their credentials more than they should. It is the mainstream media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Politico, etc., CNN, Fox News, who've covered this story, didn't for a moment question this guy's credentials. That's troublesome.
Well, I think that they did do some background checking and verified that he was at least employed with the Department of Defense, the Defense Intelligence Agency, or some department closely related to it, and that he did have some involvement with it. But whether or not he, in quotes, headed the program is still a matter that is quite contentious. And we're trying to get Greenwald on to talk some more about this, because he's really done some quite excellent digging into that.
It's also a logical thing to ask to define his credentials. On the other hand, you know, maybe the Navy is trying to throw a monkey wrench into the entire works by responding that way, to kind of sort of discredit him.
Well, who knows? Maybe it's this whole trickster thing, like last week's guest, George Hansen. You know, the field is full of that. So is Elizondo one of those trickster characters? And that's kind of what we got into talking about. The whole field, especially when you start getting into intelligence situations and psyops, it's all a room full of mirrors. And nobody knows for sure what's really going on.
Well, that's something we may never figure out. Maybe we're not meant to know what's going on. But this is something we're going to cover in more detail. In a moment, by the way, we'll talk to Mac about the Area 51 stuff and about the fact they wrote a book on it. But this morning, when we were doing the show, I got an email from Philip Mantle. He runs Flying Disc Press. And he's published some really good books. One by Calvin Parker, one of the two people who was involved in the Pascagoula, Mississippi UFO abduction. He was the younger guy then. Of course, now he's an older guy, and he's pictured on a book. He has this hat on his head, looking, you know, really, really like a real investigator there. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe he met William Burns. We all remember William Burns. Okay, UFO magazine.
Right, of course, Bill Burns, right? And he, UFO hunters, I think, ball cap, sunglasses. Yeah, we know Bill.
Mac, you were telling me before we started you met William Burns.
I know him. I've never met him, but we've talked on the phone many times, and I was interviewed on his show. In fact, you're talking about, you know, the baseball cap sunglasses look. I adopted that from him, believe it or not. So when we do our own show, the three of us, we get dressed up like Bill Burns.
I can think here, maybe we can do a branded baseball cap. for the PowerCast.
Sure.
But Max isn't a baseball cap. It's actually cooler than that. And so are your sunglasses. I think you've got one up on Bill there in that regard.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
I look at him as the godfather, so.
The godfather of caps. Anyway, Calvin Parker, he's written a follow-up to his Pascagoula book called Pascagoula, The Story Continues. It's subtitled New Evidence and New Witnesses. The foreword is by Philip Mantle. Our friend Dr. Irina Scott wrote the afterword for the book. So, you know, this sounds like something we are going to have to explore further. So, of course, Calvin's going to be on the PowerCast next week. And we'll talk to him more about the new evidence that he's received. So next week, Calvin Parker joins us on the PowerCast. Of course, Mac Maloney is here, and he's written a lot of fiction books, of course. What do you call that, aviation fiction, Mac?
Well, it's military adventure fiction, or men's action adventure is what they used to call it years ago. But it's military fiction is usually, you know, how it's, if you're looking for it in a bookstore or on Amazon or whatever. But they always have to do with aviation for the most part.
In there, like with Tom Clancy and stuff like
right.
that.
Yeah, Tom Clancy is my real godfather. I mean, if it wasn't for Tom Clancy, I'd be, you know, I don't know what I'd be doing, but I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be writing books. I know that.
All I remember about Tom Clancy, well, two things. Number one, I helped him online on AOL fix his CD-ROM back in the 90s.
Okay, cool.
And I met him at a Macworld Expo in the later 90s. And he's holding court in one of these rooms where everybody's having their breakfasts. And this is the time when, I guess the movie was Clear and Present Danger and Patriot Games, and when Harrison Ford played the Jack Ryan character, taking
right,
over
yep.
from Alec Baldwin.
Yep.
And, of course, Clancy is trying to show off
yep.
how much he knows about the military and everything. And the one thing he said that he didn't like Harrison Ford because he thought he was very, very dumb.
Okay.
I just didn't think that was a nice thing to say to strangers listening there.
Right. Well, he wasn't a nice guy. I'm not saying Tom Clancy, you know, was a nice guy. I didn't agree with any of the things that he said or he did. I certainly didn't agree with him politically. I mean, he was basically an insurance salesman who was able to meet people in the Pentagon and at the Naval Institute Press. I mean, he's up there in heaven, I know. But, you know, his just from people that I've talked to inside the publishing biz, you know, his the books were popular, but that didn't necessarily mean that they were well-written, which is fine, you know. I know he made zillions of dollars. He made so much money that he actually bought into the Baltimore Orioles, which is insane. But the fact that he made the kind of books that I went on to write and have been doing for 30 years. If it wasn't for him, you know, none of us would have been able to do it. So I have to give him his props there. But, you know, other than that, I've heard stories like you're telling right now. And he wasn't the most modest of people. Let's put it that way.
He wasn't a very nice guy. Oh, by the way, I would recommend, though, if you have Amazon Prime, Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan is really, really good. Presentation
that
into, character.
They got into a movie, I think, didn't they? Or a couple of movies.
The second season starts November 1. I can't mm-hmm. pronounce the guy's last name, the one who plays Jack Ryan, but he's real good.
Okay. Oh, the guy who used to be on The Office, that guy?
I think that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're great movies. I mean, I don't want to say they're great movies, but, you know, they're good movies. And when Alec Baldwin was in it, it's hard to believe that he... Yeah, I did this so long ago, but those are really good. The Hunt for Red October and stuff. They translate into really good movies.
Well, some of those are real page-turners. There's no doubt about it. But you know something that really impresses me, too, though, Mac, about your work, is that, you know, we often talk about authors who come on the show, like Nick Redfern, being very prolific. And, you know, I'm looking at your page on your website here at MacMaloney.com, and I'm seeing at least over 40 books that you've written on, and it's amazing. Like, you're very prolific. And so how do you manage to do that? Can you tell us about your process, how you come up with these ideas?
Before he does that, I'm jealous mm-hmm. because I've only written 32 books. Before he does that, we got to do a break. I'm not boasting because those books, you know, Didn't make money. I made money from one of the books, really earned out, and I did very well. Forget about it. Mac Maloney joining us with Gene. And Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I've got this bald spot. It's thinning everywhere.
I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude. Put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT 88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT 88 to 85850. KIT 88 to 85850.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Our guest is Mac Maloney. He writes, of course, military fiction, thousands of books, more than 40, and several books covering our UFO world that we'll talk to him about in a moment. But Randall was asking Mac about his creative process. What secrets can you convey, sir?
Well, you know, I mean, it's 2019, so why not let it all hang out? You know, I get high and I sit in tight for 8 hours. That's the short version.
Well, don't let anybody tell you then that getting high takes away from your motivation or creativity.
Right. It adds to it. I live in Massachusetts, if you couldn't tell already. But, you know, they just made weed legal here. It's not as much fun, you know, as more fun when it's illegal, frankly. You know, I mean, I've written 56 books. You know, I maybe have made as much money writing those 56 books as Tom Clancy made on one book. You know what I mean? You know, never hardcover. They're always what they call, I'm a mid-list writer, a paperback writer, literally.
And, like the Beatles sang that song, Paperback Writer.
And that's an awesome song, too. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love that song. But, you know, that's what I am. That's been my career. And I have no complaints, you know. I live a really, you know, comfortable life and so on. When they offer you a book contract to write 3 books in a year and a half, I can't turn it down, you know. So what it really comes out to be is just like a lot of hours just kind of sitting in a computer and a lot of typing. And, you know, as you say, you have to kind of create it. And sometimes, you know, if you take a puff or two and just kind of sit back and think, well, this is how I've done it. You know, it works. That's my process. So you asked, so there's the answer.
Well, of course, the key is that you have a regular schedule. You sit down, write the book, whatever your creative process. Nick Redfern, we never asked him if he consumes pot first, but he does work like a 9-to-5 kind of schedule to turn out his, what, 3 books a year.
Yeah, right. He's very disciplined. He treats it like a job. He gets up, he assigns so many hours to it, gets to it, does that, and then he just goes on and lives the rest of his life like a normal person.
Not to tell too many tales out of school, but you know, I know Nick and the two UFO related books that I've written, UFOs in Wartime and Beyond Area 51. You know, behind the scenes, you know, Nick and I got together and he actually vetted all the information in it. You know, he did the fact checking for a fee, but it was reasonable and it was very thorough. And he's just a really good guy that you can call up off air, let's say, and he'll tell you things like, you know, if the History Channel approaches you to be, you know, to be interviewed or whatever, how much they should pay you, you know, and get the money in advance and that kind of stuff, you know. So he's very valuable to people like me in that respect, too. And he's a great fact checker. And, you know, he and I kind of like the same thing. So he doesn't like the Beatles, though. He and I had a discussion about that.
No, he likes to get on the guitar every once in a while and do some shredding on punk tunes.
Yeah, he's a real punk guy. Yeah.
Which is kind of cool in his own way, too.
He's also a British guy living in Dallas. And I said, you know, how'd that happen? And yeah. I think he said, you don't want to know or something, so.
Let's talk about your book a bit then, UFOs in Wartime. Let's go through some of the cases and you know, go highlight some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that came out, I guess, in 2011 or 12. I'm not really sure. And, you know, as we were talking about before, before then, I was, you know, mostly a fiction writer and had written probably about 40 or 45 fiction books by that time. And just really out to lunch with my editor one day, and you had a couple of martinis, and we were just talking about UFOs for some reason. And I said, you know, I've always had this idea that UFOs show up more in wartime than in peacetime, because I read lots of UFO stuff when I was a kid and so on. And it just seems like a lot of the reports came from, you know, when there was a war going on. So I just threw that out to him, and he said, hey, that'd be a good idea for a nonfiction book at the time. Now, this is with Penguin Books, and he told me at the time Angel Books and UFO Books were, you know, looking pretty good. And they always try to look, you know, a year in the future to see, you know, what people are going to be reading a year from now, which is kind of odd, too. But so he said, you want to do a nonfiction book? And I said, yeah, why not? You know, so we put this thing together and really just, you know, researched lots and lots of cases where the military and UFOs kind of, you know, came in, were connected, let's say, or where the military was involved in UFO sightings, pilots, and so on, and especially during World War II, the Foo Fighters, and kind of took it from there. So that's really where it started off from. And I think there's about 220 different little anecdotes and so on in the book about militaries, mostly the U.S. military, and you know, coming up against UFOs, what they did and so on. And the whole idea really was, you know, it was more volume than anything, quantity than anything. Is, you know, if you read the book, I feel, and you read all those stories, you have to believe that there is some kind of connection between the UFOs and military, because they almost run parallel histories, you know. So I think if you read the book, if you don't believe in UFOs after reading that, you know, our book, I guess you might want to look into something else to read.
We can go for that, definitely. Now, the one that I wanted to also mention is Beyond Area 51. And the reason is this recent story that on the social networks, they ask everybody to storm Area 51 at right. a given time. And I think 2 million people responded. But when all was said and done, you know how many people showed up? Anyone want to make a guess? 75.
Is that what it was?
That many?
Yeah. And that's a lot, yeah.
That's a crowd out where they were, for sure. Yeah, I mean, do you want me to tell you what I think about that whole thing?
Go for
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
You know, we knew, and I'm saying we because of myself and the other two co-hosts on our radio show, we knew that it was going to be a bust because I've never been in the military, but the other two guys on the show have. And one of them actually worked at Area 51, has been in and out of the place. But you don't have to be someone like that to know that. First of all, you can't get within 75 miles of the place. It's as simple as that. And it's like two mountain ranges over from the spot, the last spot of public access. So if anything, what we were talking about is that if lots and lots of people, plus it's very hard to get to. Too. Plus, the closest place to it really is Las Vegas. So, you know, you have to go there. You might get, you know, sidetracked there. Who knows? But if anything was going to turn into a humanitarian crisis, because there would have been a lot of sunstroke and this and that, and who knows what. But the fact that it really didn't turn out to be anything wasn't surprising because, you know, I mean, 2 million people would say, yeah, I'm going, you know, but you know, look at how many showed up. And the second thing is, that there's a lot of misinformation out there, too, about it. Number one, the U.S. military does not guard Area 51. It's done by a private security firm, and they have a very strange name, like Wackenhut or something like that. I don't even know what it is, but it's a private security firm contracted by the government. Now, a lot of the guys in it are ex-special forces and so on, operators, as they say. But, you know, they're not going to shoot you. Yeah, there are signs that say deadly force, but there's a whole kind of a tree of what they will do to you if they catch you sneaking onto, you know, this government land.
Let's break it here. We'll explore Area 51 with Mac, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The U.S. Special Envoy to Ukraine has resigned. Kurt Volker was apparently a vital part in the whistleblower complaint involving Ukraine and President Trump. The State Department said that Volker did connect a Zelensky aide with Rudy Giuliani. The House Intelligence Committee could open hearings as early as next week in its impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Democratic Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff said subpoenas could be issued soon. Senior Counselor to the President, Kellyanne Conway.
You have an impeachment inquiry based on nothing, and you all should care about that. All of you who give the nonstop platform to Adam Schiff in an oxymoron-like fashion as Chairman of the Intelligence Committee, who lied for years in your papers, on your Twitter feeds, on your news stations, in your TV shows, lied that there's a, quote, mountain of evidence of collusion. This is worse than Watergate.
This is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Catching up, Area 51 guarded by a private security firm. And not that guy with the last name of Prince. We're talking about, you know, normal private security firm. They're not going to throw you in the brig or something. Is that the long and short of it?
Yeah, they're going to detain you. It depends on, you know, what level of resistance you are giving them. You know, most of them, they just turn them away. You know, if you insist, they're going to detain you. They'll put you in some hut somewhere. It'll be hot. And then, you know, release you after a few hours where you've learned your lessons. They've made you miserable, and now you're going to go. But you would really have to do something very extreme for them to, first of all, shoot you, and second of all, kill you. And that wasn't even an option at this point because, and they knew that, because they knew that, you know, once again, if somehow someone got beyond the fences and the motion detectors and the sound detectors and the infrared cameras and everything, you still had to make your way 75 miles across one of the, you know, hottest deserts in the world to get to this place. And then on top of that, I don't want to say there's nothing there, but I'll tell you exactly what's there. It's just full of, like, prototypes for our next generation of secret aircraft. You know, there's no UFOs, there's no crashed UFOs or any of that stuff there. It's a place where they test our next generation of secret aircraft.
So you don't believe Bob Lazar?
No, I don't. I mean, I believe that. No, I don't believe what he said.
And what about the case, though? I mean, it is a pretty interesting. What do you think's going on with that, then?
Well, Bob Lazar right now, last time I, you know, kind of looked into it, which was probably about a year and a half ago, Bob Lazar was running a company in the Chicago area supplying parts to the Pentagon. He was actually one of those people you see flags outside their factories where it says we are a something, something, something approved, meaning you can sell POTS to the Pentagon and to military contractors. You have to pass a test for it to do it, and people, you know, brag about it when they do. This is what he was doing. So now flash backwards to when he came out in the 80s, and he claimed that, you know, he was an employee at Area 51 and that there was another place nearby, S4, Papoose Mountain, where there were all these, you know, crashed UFOs and captured UFOs and so on and so forth. You know, that's basically what he said was happening. I went into it, you know, kind of, you know, deeply and beyond Area 51, and just not doing deep research. All I had to do was kind of like a little bit surface research. And it turns out the theory that I heard, which kind of makes more sense to me, is that if you look at the operations at Area 51 and the fact that basically what they're doing is they get the secret aircraft out there and they take off and land and they evaluate them. But they know that Russian satellites go over that place. They were going over it on a regular basis, once a day at least. And that meant that if they knew the Russian satellite was coming over at 2 in the afternoon, they would have to take all the secret planes off the runway, put them inside the hangars, but they would also have to go out on the runway and wash it down with cold water to get rid of the heat signature of these airplanes, because the Russian satellites have infrared capability and they can actually take a picture of a runway and see if an airplane was parked there a few hours ago simply by the heat residue that it left. So the people at Area 51 somehow said, well, look, you know, we're really sick of schlepping these planes in and out. You know, it's a pain in the neck. So they said, so this theory goes, we'll have someone do this classic kind of disinformation and deflection campaign, claim that there's all this crazy stuff going on, you know, kind of down the road a little bit. And maybe the Russians will take the bait and they'll start focusing on that area and not Area 51. And once again, you know, I didn't talk to anyone at the CIA or anything, but I just found this stuff in the basic research, is that that's probably what happened. And, you know, they started flying Russian satellites over this supposedly S4 place, and it just gave the guys at Area 51, you know, literally a break from pushing the airplanes in and out of the hangars. Now, to me, and just, you know, people who I've known who've worked at Area 51, who have been there, and just people that I know who are in the military and have worked for the intelligence agencies, let's say, that to me sounds like a very kind of practical solution to the complaint that the people were having at Area 51. And so Bob Lazar goes out there and he spins this great tale, and it's great publicity for him, and it's really put Area 51 on the map. But once again, let's go up to the present. Would someone like that really be doing business with the Pentagon these days if he wasn't kind of in on something?
That's a pretty good point. Or maybe he made a deal and says, okay, well, fine, you know, I'll just stop my whole, you know, publicity about this if we can just, you know, if I can get on and do some real business
right.
with you.
I mean, he did it, and I think the deflection campaign worked. And the fact that Area 51 now is like the most famous top secret base in the world, you know, kind of proves, you know, that what he set out to do, he did. The question is, what was his motive? I mean, the whole idea behind the book Beyond Area 51 was that, like I say, Area 51 is the most known secret base in the world. Well, there are other secret bases out there that nobody knows about, and that was kind of like the starting point for that book. But you're just connecting the dots. You know, you have this guy out there and got a lot of publicity, you know, and deflected things to this S4 place, and then kind of, you know, disappears after a while, and then, you know, he emerges as a Pentagon contractor. I just don't think that if he was who he really said he was, you know, having the government, you know, erase his life and harass his family or whatever, I just don't think that...
Like an actual whistleblower, you mean, yeah.
Right, exactly.
I kind of question, and I kind of like where you're going with that, but I question whether Bob actually knew he was part of the disinformation campaign, because it's possible that he was put into a situation that was so compartmentalized that, you know, his glimpses of these saucers and the plans that he was given and the stuff that he worked on may have all simply been a ruse to get him to believe in something that didn't really exist, and then come away from it believing it himself and still performing the same function that you describe.
Right, but that would have taken, you know, in my opinion, that would have taken like a lot of like logistics and stuff and a lot of actors and a lot of moving parts and stuff. I think it would have been simpler just to go to someone and say, hey, listen, You know, I mean, you know, we always hear the CIA, but there's also, you know, the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, and they're the masters at, you know, like deflection campaigns and disinformation campaigns and stuff like that. I think it would have been just easier to get someone who kind of understood it, you know, the script from page one. And, you know, you do this for us and, you know, and so on. And who knows what will happen down the line. But I will tell you this. He had offers to go to Japan to do a series of interviews in Japan. And they were going to pay him $1 million. Now, this is in the 80s. Okay, that's a lot of money now. There's a lot of money way back then.
I could buy at least two pairs of shoes with that. Yeah.
Let me just start again because I had to clear my throat. I'm sorry. Okay. Editing wise. He was offered $1 million to go to Japan to do a series of interviews. And at the last moment, he didn't go do it. But, you know, the people who talked to him right around that time said that he was always walking around with these two lawyers or these two people, you know, from the government or who knows what they were from. And they seemed to be guiding him in every interview. And then he postponed or canceled this thing he was going to do in Japan for $1 million. And that's when he really kind of started to fade from the scene. So, you know, again, I think that, well, you know, we've created this thing. Now, you know, getting $1 million going to Japan to talk about Area 51, maybe that's a little bit, you know, off the page. So it's time to kind of, you know, reel this thing back in. And once again, I just got to go to the fact that he now, you know, sells pots to the Pentagon. You know, I just don't think they would be in business with a guy who supposedly on his own blew the whistle about Area 51.
Yeah, it's like if Snowden came back and opened up his own private intelligence firm.
Let's do our break here and then go more into Bob Lazar. Area 51 and maybe where we should look if we're seeking a place that the real secret action, if there is any secret action, might be occurring. Mac Maloney is joining us, author of military fiction and UFO stuff. With Gina Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hey folks, Tom D. for ParanormalDate.com.
Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world, then bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Mac Maloney is here, and we're talking about Area 51, maybe the real Area 51, and Bob Lazar, who and what he made me. Maybe just a useful idiot that they managed to find and get him to spread this disinformation. But I see two things going on here, two possibilities. One is, yeah, maybe something is going on at Area 51, hiding in plain sight, but you get a guy like Lazar making it so outlandish that nobody will take him seriously. That's number one. Number two, of course, if there is any secret stuff related to maybe UFOs going on, it's elsewhere. What do you think, Mac?
Well, there are definitely other secret bases in this country and around the world. I think Bob Lazar, he might have been an idiot, but I shouldn't even say that. I think he was in on it from the beginning. You know, he might not be, you know, the top of the tree as far as the intelligence agencies are concerned. So in a way, he might have been a useful idiot, but I think he was in on it. But anyway, I don't believe that the U.S. military knows what UFOs are. I know that they know they exist because there's plenty of evidence, you know, in their hands that they exist. They have film, video, the works, radar, the works. But I don't believe that they know what they are. I don't believe that we have any crash sources or there are any reverse engineering or any of that stuff because we would not be living in the world we live in now. If somewhere, in the U.S. military, someone had the secret to an anti-gravitational device, let's say, and that they're using it, and that we have a secret space force flying around the solar system and so on, which I've heard people say, and they've written books about and given lectures about. If we had all that, would we be driving around in internal combustion cars? Would we, have to plug in to get our electricity? Would we be launching the space shuttle and everything that goes into orbit by ballistic missiles, which is, probably the most inefficient way, but the only way that you can get something into orbit? I mean, like launching the space shuttle into orbit, it was like launching a dump truck into orbit, you know? I mean, would you go through all that time and expense and people's lives and the engineering and technology and all that stuff on one side if, you know, the guy next door had the secret to an anti-gravitational device? It just wouldn't work. And we're just talking about the military. You can be sure that if someone somewhere out there got an anti-gravitational device from the Roswell crash, let's say, industry would be on it, you know, in a moment. You know, this whole idea that they would keep it secret from us is nonsense. They wouldn't keep it secret from us. They would, you know, capitalize on it and then charge us for it. You know, we'd be living in a Jetsons world if we had any kind of, you know, extraterrestrial technology at our fingertips. I believe that the U.S. military has no more of an idea than we really do of where UFOs come from. And once again, I said to you off the air, I hate to be the bucket of cold water, but, you know, this is just what I've seen, you know, what the research and stuff, you know, kind of tells me. Now, the strange thing is, having said that, is when we did the Beyond Area 51, and it was basically talking about secret bases around the world similar to Area 51, every one of them except one has some kind of a UFO history to it. Which is kind of odd because you think, well, what came first, you know, the chicken or the egg? And in a lot of cases, it just seems like military bases, U.S. military bases, you know, especially, crop up around areas that we would call hot zones, you know. It's certainly the case, you know, that our friend Mr. O'Brien talked about in the St. Louis Valley and in other places around the world. So, that's what kind of makes Beyond Area 51, I think, an interesting book. And just I'll just finish this by saying, you say that where's the best place to hide things? They hide them in plain sight. A friend of mine who has worked for an agency that works for the intelligence agencies, he is kind of like my silent partner in Beyond Area 51. I'd write a chapter and I would send it to him, and I would just say to him, you know, knowing what you know, not having to tell me what you know, but knowing what you know, am I really too way off here? And he said no. For most of the stuff, I adjusted stuff. But the last chapter, he and I are having a beer in Harvard Square, of all places. And he just, like, walked me down the street, and he said, if you're going to hide anything in plain sight, this is where you would hide it. And we're in the quadrangle of Harvard University. So that's the punchline of the book. And I kind of believe that, you know. I think that, you know, if there's anything really crazy going on, number one, I think it's very terrestrial based. And number two, I think you're really going to find the germ of it in places like Harvard and places like that.
Now, I'm going to ask you furthermore about that. Obviously, disclosure advocates, dating back to the 50s, believe that the government had secrets about UFOs. How can this thing be going on decade after decade without the authorities knowing something about it? On the other hand, you have this compartmentalization where you have one agency or one group exists in their own little world and they don't communicate, or they have turf wars. And this, of course, is one of the issues, if we look at it, that might have resulted in 9/11, that we didn't connect the dots because none of the agencies were talking to one another, whatever the conspiracy theories are. So it's possible one agency knows something. But I think in general, the focus of the military about UFOs is, does it represent a threat to national security? Having determined that it probably doesn't, out of sight, out of mind, disclosure is not going to bring anything.
Right. I agree with you 100%. I think that I'm theorizing now, but I think that this is how the U.S. military stance is that you're right. We can kind of get off the hook by somehow telegraphing that we don't believe UFOs are something that would affect our national security. Okay. But that's just another way of saying we don't know what these things are. We just don't think, you know, they're a threat. But you know, the defense budget now is, I think, is $900 billion. It's going to be $1 trillion in probably 2 years. You cannot, you know, come right out and come clean and say, we don't know what these things are, yet you're paying us $1 trillion to, you know, protect the country. So I think that's how they kind of, couch it. We don't know what these things are. In fact, you go back to 1947, right, after Kenneth Arnold, you know, saw the first quote-unquote flying saucers. There's a division of the Air Force back then. It's called the ATIC, and they were more like researchers and scientists and stuff, and the Air Force said to them, you know, look into these things. You know, all of a sudden there's all these UFO flying saucer waves across the country. Look into these things. They came back 6 months later, and they said, oh, listen, okay, And this is where this whole thing is not a threat to national security comes from. You know, they're not Russian. They're not Red Chinese. They're not old, you know, Nazi super weapons or anything like that. And they're not any kind of top secret weapon that we or our allies have. So they put in the conclusion, you know, it cannot be dismissed out of hand that they might be from someplace else. They turn in that report. And at the time, the head of the Air Force was this guy named Vandenberg, who they named the military launch base out in California after. He read it. He goes back to these scientists and said, this is not the conclusion we want, so come back in 6 months. And so they got the message. They come back in 6 months. And they said, anyone who sees a UFO, flying saucer, is either a religious zealot, someone who's prone to hallucinations, odds, or a hoaxer. And that's where this whole kind of thing started, that, if you see a UFO, you're kind of loony. The whole ridicule factor kind of
stuff. Right. Yeah. Well, okay. So we have, that's sort of all barely accurate from what I can recall about my basic ufology for sure. What you're talking about there is the estimate of the situation that was done by the Air Technical Intelligence Center.
Right. Yep.
And they concluded that UFOs are most likely what they called back in those days interplanetary, because, you know, they weren't sure that there was no life on Venus or Mars yet. So this was their conclusion. And then we had that Robertson panel, mm-hmm. which was part of the CIA.
Yes.
And they recommended, exactly as you say, to discredit even pilots and Ruppelt, who had actually seen that estimate of the situation, said, look, I'm not cool with that. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't long after that that he got transferred out. And the rest is history, as you say.
Right, right. The unusual thing was the glitch that they didn't expect was, after the second ATIC report, the Korean War starts soon afterwards. And now what you have is you have, for instance, jet fighter pilots flying around up there. Now they have radars in the jets. This is a leap in technology from World War II, which ended only like 5 years before. But now you have jet aircraft, you have radars in the jets, you have radars on the ground, you have radars on Navy ships offshore. You're fighting the Korean War, and our pilots are seeing UFOs. Some of them are really kind of vivid and really kind of stupendous kind of UFO sightings, huge, huge flying saucers and so on. And now, so the military is in this position of saying, well, are your pilots hoaxes? Are they religious zealots? Are they prone to hallucinations? And that was really the start of something. They said, we have to do something. So they started Blue Book.
We're going to continue with that. Mac, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.